am excited to be sharing with you the last installment on the conversation of the human condition, and partly to try and unpack why did God play this trick on us by putting us here on earth? Was it a blessing? Can we see it as a blessing? Can we see the joy of it? And can we take on the challenges with a sense that God intended for them to be victories? God put us in a place so that we could stretch our wings and we could learn our muscles and we could discover our capacities. And he did it so that we would be more and he would be glorified and magnified most. Can you say amen to that? And so today I want to give you a brief reminder of the conversation we've had so far, and then we'll tackle the last part. Conversation we've had so far is the battlefield was part one. And you can get this online, YouTube. Hey, YouTube, please subscribe. Please subscribe. Thank you. I know it's so silly. I feel like an influencer. Subscribe to my channel. Please subscribe to the channel and click the notification bell. Facebook, please share this. But you can find all our messages there. You just click videos and it gives it to you in order. But we did the battlefield, this tension between how we were designed and how we landed up and how God wanted to figure that out with us. Oh, by the way, hello to my friends watching in Hogsback. What a day to be in Hogsback. You really went looking for winter. Don't worry, it's coming. A couple of weeks ago, part two was the book. We talked about how that we should follow God's script, the book he wrote about us, and that we should be careful who and what writes chapters in the book of our lives. And that we should have some wisdom about that. And then last week we talked about this idea of the breaking away and what God has called us to do as far as breaking free and living in a divine freedom. Today, I've sort of loosely titled this message, The Bag. The bag from the context of what God put in the bag he sent you into life with. Look, we all have different strengths and weaknesses. We all have different capabilities. We all have different heights. Some of us are appropriately heighted. Others of you are unnecessary. Extra. I had a memory photo the other day that traumatized me. It was of me and my good friend Dean, who did the giving message, running side by side on the treadmill. The person who worked at Virgin Active was in the church and thought it would be lovely to take a photo and send it to me and a little video. It wasn't lovely. The thought was lovely, the video wasn't. It was very clear that on the one side, a giraffe was running all in their stride, and next to him, a warthog desperately trying to keep up. Yes, I would be the warthog, that's right. But we all have these. Now, the idea here is that if you look in the bag of who God made you and with what, you'll figure out who you're supposed to be. If you look in the bag and see, for example, and this part of the idea is not all mine, a guy called Max Lucado wrote a book on the sweet spot. And one of his chapters is devoted to the idea that if you look in the bag and you find perhaps a soccer ball, a whistle, and a couple of shoes, spikes and so on, you'd say, well, that's a sports person. If you look in somebody else's bag, you see a laptop, you know, the AC 101 book on accounting, the tax law, you could say to yourself, probably not a professional sportsman, probably in finance. Well, if you took that same principle to spiritual things, you look inside and you say, what has God put in me? You figure out who you're supposed to be and what you're supposed to do with life very quickly. And perhaps if we spent a few minutes exploring that idea, we would be able to walk with peace and confidence and joy and avoid the temptation of becoming what everyone else says we should be. We live in a world where everyone says something about what we should be. From our social media influencing on how we should dress, what we should say, all the way through to what's cool and not, what's woke and what's not. But the Bible, woke is one of those terms. But the Bible has a lot more to say, and I think we should explore that. In Luke chapter 19 is exactly that passage of scripture where Jesus tells the parable of a man who gives out his wealth in different bags, the 5 bags, 3 bags, 1 bag, and so forth, 2 bags, 1 bag. At the end of that parable, there's a kind of reckoning, a judgment. How did you do with what you were given with your bag? And it ends like this in verse, it's actually 24, not 2. Then he said to those standing there, take the money from him, the bag, the resource, the skill, the ability, take it from him and give it to the servant who doubled my stake. They said, but master, he already has double. And he said, that's what I mean. Risk your life and get more than you dreamed of. Play it safe and end up holding just one bag. I love the power of the way the message translates that. Are you living the bravest version of your life you could live so that you could risk it all in the hands of God and find that the return is remarkable, a constant doubling because of God's favor? Or do you hold so tightly to the little version of a life you have now that when it's all over, all you've got is what you started with? See, God is in an expanding ministry, a doubling ministry, an increasing ministry. He gives us a seed to put in the ground to teach us that out of one seed, a forest could come if we just worked it well, worked it carefully. Look, thanks to lockdown, I've gotten into gardening so much that someday you may have to send a search party to extract me from the forest that I am growing, both inside and outside my house. I'm changing my house's name. No longer the black house, it shall be the green house. I've learned about cuttings. I've learned about being able to take cuttings and dip them in sort of root hormone growth powder and sticking them into things and then covering them so they stay sort of damp and moist and can draw nutrition. I've now grown all kinds of maple trees and I've grown all kinds of conifers and Greek stuff. No illegal stuff. That doesn't require the hormone. No, I'm joking. I wouldn't know her. And every time I do something like that, I think about the biblical concept here. I think about how I take a little bit of what God has put for me. And if I take care of it by putting it in an environment of growth and I escalate that, and then for a little season, I cover it under the protection of a place called church. And then at the right time, I open it up out of one small thing, many things. You have to live bravely. And God's called us not to just hold on to what we started out with, but to be able to end. Every person here wants to end the journey of their life with more in hand than they had when they started. And you know, the Bible has a great deal to say about how to unbox the bag. So I guess unboxing the soul is really our conversation today. How to unbox the bag of what God's given you. All of us have anxieties and fears and insecurities. We all wonder if we're born at the right time or in the right place. I can't tell you how many people I talk to will listen to a wonderful piece of old music, you know, because I think all the good music is old music. But should I not have said that? It's just that in my generation of music, which is 5 years ago, each song sounded quite different. You knew which one it was. But now you have to Shazam it to know, because it all sounds exactly the same as the one before. And I do think church music falls into that habit sometimes too. But we had, how many people I've spoken to have said, oh, I was born in the wrong era. I should have been born then, or I should have been born here. Or some people feel, maybe I was just born in the wrong place, or maybe I was sort of born the wrong something. You have to stop talking like that. You can't be saying I was born the wrong gender, I was born the wrong age, I was born the wrong tone, I was born the wrong. Already you've decided not to look in the bag and have already decided that the bag is empty, not knowing that your Heavenly Father has sent you with some stuff, all that you need. And if you doubled everything He deposited, there would be an exponential growth that God would say, well done, faithful servant, here's the next part of the bag. We've been made to feel guilty. No matter what you are, you've been made to feel guilty. You've been made to feel guilty for your age or your gender or your class background or your education. We live in a world inspired by guilt. But the Holy Spirit does not work that way. The Holy Spirit teaches us whatever is lacking, He can supply. Whatever is missing, we should ask and ask confidently that God will give generously to anyone who asks. And we should have the confidence to look in the bag. Look, I may not have had the same talents or the same skills as others, but I took out the bag what I got and I worked it. And God has been faithful. In fact, can I be honest? Sometimes I think over-talented people, if there is such a thing, very talented people can get distracted by the details of their talents and do none of them well. They just touch on it a little, instead of applying themselves and turning it into what God had intended. But in order for you to reach into the bag and own what God has given you, you have to overcome a few things. You have to overcome a couple of insecurities. You have to overcome a few fears. You know, I have great respect for people who did things even though they were afraid of them. I've got great respect for people who got married even though all they've seen is divorce in their background. I have respect for you. I've got respect for people who opened a business even though their dad may have liquidated the business and they've seen the worst of it. I've got a respect for people who've seen the worst but have said to themselves, but I am not that person and this is not that situation and that will not determine the parameters of my life. I'm putting my hope and trust in God. So I wondered if we could take a few minutes to look at three things, and by a few, I mean 16 minutes. that's what's on the screen there. A few minutes to look at what Scripture says about the unpacking of that. I wanted to give you confidence, and this passage of Scripture I'm going to read now, the rest of it, is actually going to be shared on tonight by our young adults. The young adult generation are running the 6 p.m. Damien Sharp will be preaching tonight. And I've already seen the message, and I'm excited to be here myself. Romans chapter 8, verse 30 to 31 says this, "And those whom God predestined, he also called. And those whom he called, he justified, declared free of guilt. And those whom he justified, he also glorified, raising them to a heavenly dignity. What then shall we say to these things? If God is for us, who can be successful against us?" Do you know everyone loves that last one? If God is for us, who can be against us? I've preached it like a Pentecostal preacher, and I've heard it preached like a Pentecostal preacher. You don't know what that is. You just add a hanky and a bit of sweat. You got yourself a Pentecostal preacher. Sorry, was that too close to home for some of you? Like some of you tucking away your white hanky there. But you know, it says God, who can be against us on the back of verse 30. And what verse 30 says is that God finished what he started, whom he predestined. He called. Whom he called, he justified. Whom he justified, sanctified. He justified. He gave dignity and he got rid of the guilt of sin so that they could be who God intended them to be. Such a person, free from guilt, pulled into the home of the beloved, fulfilled with the dignity of God. That person can confidently say, if God is for me, who can be against me? Who's going to succeed? I mean, do you know, I love that verse because it say I love the message there. I think it was a message. Actually, it was the Amplified. You know why I love it? It says, who can be successful against me? Do you know what the implication of the Scripture is? There will be people against you. They're just, shame. They're not going to be successful at their opposition. Why? Because I have the confidence of being guilt-free and the confidence of divine dignity because I am called by a heavenly Father to the right person, right place, right future, and right provision. I am where I'm supposed to be. You can dance around me unhappy, but it doesn't change who I am and where I'm meant to be. Therein lies my victory. Perhaps one of the purposes of this entire journey, our spiritual journey, is to land in that place, to land in a place of saying, I am who I'm meant to be, and I know who he is to me. That if I could make that statement, then I have fulfilled my life's mission. And whether I do it in the arts or in the sports field or in the finance field or anything else in my bag. It doesn't matter, because what's valuable is that I unpacked it all. And one of my great fears in life is that I will have still left something in the bag that God had left me to do, that I would still leave something there undone. And I don't want that. I wanted to make sure I've unpacked it all. So there are three ideas I want to share with you on how to get there. How to get there emotionally and spiritually with authority. The first I want to share with you is the idea of the weight in your favor. To be weighed in your favor. Now, no one wants extra weight. I get that. I get the anxiety that that produces. But you know, there is something about this idea that goes right from the Old Testament to the New Testament of the weight of something. Something can look expensive, but have no weight substance. There's a part in Daniel, you've been weighed and found wanting. There's a lot in the scripture about scales and just scales, weighed properly. But there is also an idea of the weight of God's glory. This is very important. Have you ever felt like somebody, for whatever reason, seems to have all the good luck? Don't name anybody. And if you can't think of anybody, it's you. And this is how your friends feel about you. It's you. You'll go and ask the same thing at the same counter. You'll get a no. Somebody else, either they kind of took a liking to them, or they like their smile, or they like their something. They ask the same thing. They get it. And you felt, that is annoying. Well, favor is the unseen sense of God's hand on your life. It is a weight on your shoulder that seems surprising, because you know it's bigger than you. You know that the moment is bigger than you, and yet you seem up for it. The weight of God's favor is the ability to go through things and be immovable. Some people don't have that weight yet. It's similar to being weighed down, but in a positive way, so that the wind or the storm comes, you don't move. We need people with more gravitas or the weight of God's favor or glory on their lives. We can't be easily moved if we're going to achieve this position or standing in life where we feel we are where we're meant to be. Can't be easily moved and easily swayed. Look at what 2 Corinthians 4 says. Verse 17 says, "For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, is working for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory." There's a very powerful passage of scripture that says, while you think you're going through something pointlessly, it's not pointless, it's adding weight or gravitas to your soul. When the storm comes, the storm will find that the man who was a reed is now a rock. You know, you've got to have a little bit of that solidity, unshakable, immovable, another passage of scripture says, always abounding in the word of truth. You have to have some things over which you're immovable. We live in a very flexible world, it seems, these days. Everything's up for discussion. Nothing should be pinned down as definite. I can't accept that. Because my Redeemer is definite. My God is certain. My faith is undeniable. My future eternal. All these things require the premise that they are fixed. I want to encourage you today to let the weight of God's favor on your life lead you. Develop immovability in your life. Start at something and say to yourself, come hell or high water, I'm going to finish it. Keep at it. Persevere. Because through these things, we will see the will of God in our lives. Never give up. Let God direct and guide your life. Have a bit of substance to you. Be strong and steadfast. The second idea that is so crucial if we're going to unpack all of what God has put in the bag of our makeup, is that we have a willingness for the future. a willingness. Willingness is a strange trait. So some people have a lot of it, you know, eager, sort of enthusiastic, sort of Jack Russell Labrador types, you know. Let's go, let's go, let's go. They may drain you even from the moment their eyes wake up. They're on the run. Others, perhaps more like Great Danes. Perhaps, this is sort of any Great Dane owners here, you'll know. Don't. We know. Just the move from one couch to the other is sufficient for the day. I've moved laterally, but I've moved. You know, willingness is simply keenness. But not just keenness for anything. If I said to you, and I'm just making an example now, don't take this seriously. If I said to you, everyone in the building after church, milkshake on me. Now, I can't do that. I can't do that. For lots of reasons, I'm preaching. But afterwards. But if I said that, most people would be quite keen. You know, one or two people say, well, I'm lactose intolerant and you're insensitive and all that. But most people would be quite keen. I don't mean that kind of keenness. No, willingness as defined by the Bible is an eagerness to do what God needs done from my life. See, now, world changes. Eagerness changes. But if the Holy Spirit is really in us, then it is not so much a feeling as it is a function. Not so much an emotion as it is an action. I'll tell you, if someone has the Holy Spirit, they do what God requires of them to do. The feelings are easy. The feelings are easy. The emotions are easy. But the doing, therein lies the victory. And if you're wondering if I have a scripture to prove all that, I do. It's in Philippians chapter 2, verse 12. Pay attention to the last part. It says, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling, for it is God who works in you to do what? To both will and do for his good pleasure. Do you know how I know if God's worked in me? I wake up in the day thinking, Lord, what will you have me do today? When you get that kind of mindset going, immediately you've got the right kind of willpower, the will to do the will of God. That's real will. I mean, there's lots of will to do other kinds of things, right? Personal pleasures, enjoyment, socializing. I mean, you fall in love and suddenly 7 p.m. is not late. It's just the start of a night. You know, but when you're not in love, you're like 7 p.m. is like time to lock the doors. What are you doing out and about? It all changes. It all changes. Similarly, in our relationship with God, our authority, our capacity is motivated by being Spirit-filled. I love the emotions that come from the Spirit, and I love even the sense of a touch from God. Those are beautiful moments and really incredible. But with or without the feelings and with or without the sense of a touch, what I need most is the power of God to get me up each day with a determination in my heart. Today, we will do the will of God. Little by little, you won't always see how it's supposed to work, but little by little, and suddenly, you're unpacking the bag of what God has placed in your life. I figured out a little cool traveling tip. I have one more to do, and I will do it in time, in Jesus' name. I used to be one of those travelers who never unpacked the bag. I'd get to the B&B or the hotel, and I'd live out of the bag. But I realized that's really a childish way of living. So what I should do, I should spend half an hour when I get there, just unpack everything. Take a collared shirt and hang it so that when you go somewhere, you don't look like the bag. Yes, you don't look like a bag. Wow, that was deep, but thank you for that. I shall reflect on that today as I iron everything in my cupboard, in Jesus' name. I don't want to do that. And also, you know, just get the socks there and get, you know, everything there. So you're not unsure when you dig out of the bag. Was this yesterday's socks? Is this tomorrow's socks? Smell test, you know. Oh, you all do it. Decided, time to grow up now. I've got a couple of grays. Half an hour at the start. you laugh, but if you just take a little bit of time at the start of your day and just place everything before the Lord in the right way and unpack everything He's prepared for you and learn to live by the will of God, then you won't have to work hard if today is just the same experience as yesterday and you could hardly tell the difference from one day to the next. I have then discovered I take stuff with me I don't need when I started unpacking. I'm here for 3 days. Why do I have 9 white shirts? I don't need 9. I also realized I didn't pack a couple of things I do need. My point is, if you unpack the bag properly, you'll get rid of stuff you don't need. You'll discover the stuff you had all along, and you will live life joyfully. Stop carrying around stuff you don't plan to use anyway. And stop ignoring the stuff God gave for you to use. Live it out. Jesus is phoning someone right now to reiterate my message. Finally, in the two... I mean, it's the best way to deal with a phone call is just say, it's the Lord. I used to say the Lord is phoning someone about their tithe that they need to. They didn't do the right thing. And then I got criticism, so I thought I better not do that. finally, work your field. I've said this before. I'm going to say it as we conclude the Human Condition series. Work is a blessing, not a curse. Ask anybody who doesn't have it. God designed us to work a field, to tend a garden, to take care of a thing. James chapter 4 verse 1 says, what causes fights and quarrels among you? Don't they come from your desires that battle within you? You desire, but you don't have. So you kill. Okay, that's a bit drastic. You covet, but you cannot get what you want. So what do? You fight. You do not have because you do not ask God. And when you ask, you do not receive because you ask with the wrong motives that you may spend what you get on your own pleasures. You know, there's so much psychology, spiritual psychology in that scripture. It says almost the source of all conflict in our lives is the outward manifestation of an internal conflict. You can think about that in your own relationships. Why do you get angry? Because you feel disrespected. It's an internal quarrel that results in an external fight. If we get the inside sorted out, get our motives right, we would realize that there's no human being who can meet all of our needs. Only God can. We ask the Lord who gives. And then, instead of looking at people to expect to get, we go to people expecting to be givers in our relationships, in our environments. We are the kind of person who says, let me look in my bag to see if I've got what you need. See, when we navigate those ideas, put them all together, we find the human condition is actually a wonderful privilege. To start out carnal and become spiritual. To start out disconnected and be connected. To start out separated from God and be reunited. To start out broken and be made whole. To start out powerless and discover heavenly power. It's the most wonderful, exciting thing to start out life empty, only to have Him fill it so that you could spend the rest of your life pouring it out. And arriving back in heaven, emptied of the bag of all the things God had divinely intended for you. I want to conclude by this final idea, that if we don't devote ourselves to emptying the bag of the things, the gifts, opportunities that God had given us, if we don't find ourselves dipping in there and living them out, you'll spend your whole life letting other people keep filling it with their problems, expectations, and attitudes. And you'll walk around, shoulders hurting, because you're carrying your life and a bunch of other people's lives, all of which are not yet lived. The older I get, let me tell you something about aging. And I'm in my, 30s. Let me tell you something about aging. I walk lighter every year because I've unpacked more every year. And I'm grateful for the privilege of knowing the Lord and Savior from a human body working towards an eternal outcome. What a great privilege. Can you say amen to that? Amen. Would you stand with me as we pray on all our gatherings, at all our gatherings and communities, online church? Stick around for another moment. I'm going to pray a prayer. If you are not yet a follower of Jesus and would like to be, or you've kind of distanced yourself a bit, you've felt a bit cold. There's a link on the chats. There are pastors here. We stand around at the front of every venue and we make ourselves available. There's communion on the side. But pray a prayer. Get in touch with us. Go to our website and follow the link and pop off a little email to us and we'll reply and we'll plug you into information, to a small group. We'll do what it takes to help you have fuel for your journey. But right now, I'd like to take a moment to pray that God will give us the determination to live out the life He had intended for us, uninterrupted. And so, Lord, we thank You for the privilege of this incredible journey, not a curse, but a blessing, an opportunity to reclaim the things that You have called us to, that You have placed in our bag of skill and opportunity and capacity and identity, and we unpack all of those to the fullness of what You intended. And we'll be sure to give You all the glory so that we too, like the author in Romans, will be able to say, who shall succeed against us if God is for us? In Jesus' name we pray. Everybody say it.